Well, I'm no expert or nothing, because there's a lot of tracks I've seen that I haven't recognized to what animal they went to in the snow. But getting out and walking around, it's amazing at all the little tracks that you can see. Down from, I guess, mice that's running across the snow because it's just making a little trail, up to great big things, deer, cattle. And, you know, you just wonder the workings of the Lord to supply at such a time as this food for all the animals in such a weather as this for them to survive. And he gives some the ability to hibernate. I noticed just a few days before this hit, frogs hopping around in the mud puddles. And it gets this cold, you wonder how they can bury and protect themselves. But when it warms up, you'll see they'll be right back out there. Turtles go down in the mud and bury up. And all of that time there, you wonder how can that body survive and not be in the work and breathe air. God takes care of it. You and I couldn't make it. God equips them too. That's why evolutionists, the theory does not work. Because no animal could be developed into so many different things and so many different ways of living and everything except they was a supreme being with a mind that knew everything when he made it to create it like that. And you and I, you know, a lot of it was because God said, this is what I want. And he made it, and it works. Now, it wouldn't work, because you'll take a scientist, he'll tell you a bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly. But God gave him the ability to, and nobody's told the bumblebee otherwise, and he does a real good job of it. But his body weight for his wing size, they'll tell you he shouldn't be able to. Just like the world will tell you, there's no way you can live and go to heaven. But God made the way. If you and I will only believe. But he laid down some strict rules for it. And I've been listening to some messages this week on the radio. I know a lot of people wouldn't like to hear that, but it irritated me. Because things that preachers say that misleads people into thinking that, I guess you'd say, we got God across a barrel. Because God forgive us of our sins, we're going to heaven no matter what happens. And, you know, God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. And God showed such mercy and such compassion on the human family to make a way that we could be redeemed. And for us to tread upon that blood, because he made the way, and think that we can go with sin in us is wrong. And I was thinking of this when I heard this message. Well, it's been two or three of them that I heard this week on it. And this thought come to my mind, and I want to give you some scripture and then give you the thought that came to my mind and see what you think of it. All right, in St. Luke, the 15th chapter, reading the 22nd verse, very familiar scripture. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And I want you to pay attention to that. Bring the best robe. Then if you'll turn over into Ephesians, the 5th chapter, And reading the 27th verse, that He might present to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, you and I, He said that it should. Not that it will, but that it should. Why? Because you'll find a lot of times this in the day and hour in which we're living, though Christ paid the price for people to be purified, to be clean, we have entangled ourselves again with the things of the world. And according to the Bible, when they do that, then they're brought under bondage to that. But then if you'll read with us in James, the first chapter and the 27th verse, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. All right, now, they act like, if you listen to a lot of the messages on this, people act like if you are saying that there's anything to do after you've been born again, on your part, that you're preaching works. Well, here He said for us to keep Himself unspotted from the world. How do we do that? Is going back unto Christ and being cleansed when we get our spots in our life, the thing that is pleasing to God. And as I was listening to these messages, I thought, how many people would say, if I had the money to bring you the finest suit of clothes that was possible to buy, and I give it to you, and I said, this is yours, and priceless, this is for you to take care of, and to wear, and here's your receipt, and ticket for you to go and have it clean each and every time. For forgiveness, He also tells us to keep it unspotted. And He has what it takes to clean the spots that we get upon it as we travel through this life. Paul said, I die daily. Paul didn't want to stand before God with any spots upon his road. He went before God each and every day to make sure that he was still in the sight of God. You bow your knee before God with a sincere heart, looking into your life, saying, Lord, if I failed you today, if I've done that, that is pleasing to you, reveal it unto me. God will show you just exactly what it is there, and you can see a door beyond a shadow of any doubt. What you need to do to be clean in the sight of God again. All you have to do is put on a white shirt, white pants, white dress, anything like that, and it makes no difference how careful you are. You'll find at the end of the day, you've soiled it a little bit, no matter how careful you were. You need to go back and have it cleaned. Well, you and I in our Christian life, we can live the very best. You know, I used to work in construction. And I worked in North Carolina for a company called John Clark Construction Company. And when I started there, I was a helper to the masons. And working up on scaffolds, supplying the mud and the block as they was laying it. There was no place to get away from the filthy tall. And I went in there one Sunday, on Monday morning, after being in service Friday night, and in service Saturday night, and two services on Sunday. I was just on top of the world, but the garbage they spoke all day long, the dirty story, the filth that they handled, the dirty code, the stories about what they've done all week. All weekend, I participated in anything, but it was impossible to keep from hearing some of it, and it just made me feel dirty. At the end of the day, when I was coming down on that scaffold, I didn't feel clean like I did when I come to her, and I told her, I said, I didn't participate in a single joke that you told. To your story, but just because of the filth that's been handled here, I know what the Bible was meaning when it talked about the filthy conversation and back the spirit of God. You and I today, we can't be around garbage without starting again. Some of it rubbed off on us, even if we don't want it. And I went home that night, and I was praying. And there was times that day, because of what they were saying, I would shake my head and pray as I was walking that scaffold trying to get the evil, dirty thoughts that they were speaking from resting in my mind. And I just told the foreman, I said, if this is all y'all got for me to do, I'll quit. He said, give me 3 days. And in 3 days, they took me down from there and put me working with another crew of carpenters. And it wasn't as bad because you wasn't pinned right in one spot. You was all over a house or whatever that they were building. You and I today, if we'll take our stand for the Lord, God will provide for us. But each and every one of us, we can't stand and listen to dirty Joe. We can't stand and listen to the soul in the world tell, and not expect to get ourselves so fine. No matter how hard we try, we'll come away feeling dirty, and the only way to get back clean again is give before God. He can help to clean us all out of our mind that the devil trying to put in there. It takes determination to keep ourselves unspotted from the things of this world. Yeah. God give us a priceless robe. It's one that man could not purchase no matter what we did. It could not be obtained by any man's blood. It took the Son of God's blood. He searched heaven and earth to find a sacrifice, and none were sufficient but Christ's blood. That was the only one. You and I today, it's still sufficient to cleanse us from our sin, but we must keep ourselves in that spot. We must come back repeatedly to that very thing. You know, how many of you can take a shower on Saturday night and feel like you're clean all the way to the next Friday without ever washing, taking another shower, anything? You know, you can just get out of bed and sit around and go back to bed, never do nothing. You'll start stinking. before the next week whether you do any physical work to work up a sweat or not. Why? Just the body oils. And after a while, you'll be dirty. Anybody will walk by and say, boy, you need a bath. You and I today, we have convinced ourselves that we're clean. Why? Because we don't smell our own self. A lot of times, and you'll notice somebody may have been out working real hard, and they've been sweating. Sometimes if they got to go into a store or something on the way home, you'll notice they sort of put their nose down to their armpit and say, and my deodorant's still working, and I've got an odor that I don't want to go in there and offend somebody. But yeah, when it comes, we act like we can lay down and wallow in the filth of the world and get up and not smell. But God ain't saying, and He hates you and I when we just take for granted His Son's blood that it took care of everything and we can live and we plead. He bought us with a price that we could not afford. He paid for it. Let's make sure that we give Him His money's worth. That we surrender to Him totally. And that we live to the standard that He requires. And part of that standard is for us to keep ourselves unspotted from this world. You know, all kinds of people, they're ready to stand up and defend their religious belief, their doctrine, whatever it is that they set down that they agree to. But when it comes to the Word of the Lord, they don't know much about it. And when it comes to the Word of the Lord, they don't like it when somebody takes it and it condemns them. Well, do you realize that's what God said it was for? It's to reprove us. It's to rebuke us. It's to be a hammer to mold and shape us into what God would have us to be. You know, I've watched a man that's good at working with a forge and metal, and they'll put that metal in and they'll get it hot. And while it's still glowing is when they beat on it with a hammer. Or they'll bend it. Whatever they're wanting to do to it. While it's hot. Because once it cools off, you can't work with it. And if they don't accomplish it in that, they'll put it back in the fire and heat it up again. God said, buy me gold. Try it in the fire. They've been many of a time. He's had to put me back in the fire in the process of molding and shaping me. You and I today, if we'll just yield to the mighty hand of God, by the time our life is over, He'll have us a fit subject for His kingdom. But if we rebel, He'll cast us on the scrap pile. You know, if you go into a true blacksmith shop, you'll find over in the corner, there's metal that's piled up that when the scrap man comes around, that all goes back. And it's re-melted down and something else is made out of it. But it's what he's rejected because the temper or something about it was not right. And he couldn't work with it. And there's no sense in keep on trying when you know what you're doing. You try with a piece of metal and it won't work. The only thing to do is throw it away and get you one that will. Well, you and I today, God don't have to settle for junk. If we won't yield to the pressure that God puts upon us, He will cast us away. Why? We belong to Him. And we either surrender to His will or we have no part with Him. You and I today, Christ come to purchase a peculiar people. A people that He is proud of. A people that is His possession. You know, if I own something, my neighbor might like to have it. But it's mine. If I want to go out there and just beat it all to pieces with a hammer and throw it away, it's mine. I can do with it as I please. What puzzles me is how people will take, instead of taking what the Word of God said, they'll turn around and say, yeah, but I believe God. He's merciful, He's loving, He will make a way. He's already made the way and He showed us what it was. And He gave us His rules, His laws and what to live by. Even under grace, what did He require? And we either come to that or we will be rejected. We're reprobate silver and gold that don't go in the other way. And you and I today, we need to come down humbly before God and admit to our failings here, because if we don't, when we stand before Him there, it'll be too late. You know, if I take inventory in my life today and I see a point where I'm failing God, I can get on my knees and repent and find forgiveness. But when that death angel calls, it's too late to repent. As a tree falls, so shall it be. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. There's no altar after this life is over for us to repent upon. We either do it here, or we stand before God in our sin. Each and every one of us, let's make sure just what that we are before God. What have we done? If we say we're a Christian, what have we done with that robe of righteousness that God wrapped upon us? You know, you'll find one place He says, ask someone against you, because you've left your first love. Can you remember back when you were first saved, that feeling that you had, that cleanness that you had, that love that you had, that vision that you had, that desire that you had to see people saved? You wanted everybody to have what you had. What's happened to that? Is it still there? Do you still want to see people shout and be born again to receive what you got? Or have you come to the place where you just drifting by each and every day, just trying to get life by, never having a desire to do anything for God? You know, when I first come to the Lord, the first thing that I wanted to do was something for God, to show Him how much that I loved Him, how much that it meant to me that He loved me enough changed me the way that He changed me. Well, you and I today, every day that we live, we should be wanting to do something for God. You know, it may be no more than getting out where you live and just walking, just you and God alone, and singing a hymn, praising the Lord. You say, well, there's nobody there to listen. God's listening. He said, we're going to give an account of every idle word we speak. So don't you know He's listening when we lift our voice to sing a hymn? I can be out there on the farm and I can sing something that wouldn't make a bit of sense to nobody else. But between me and God, it makes a lot of sense. Why? Because I'm singing what's on my heart. I'm thanking God for that He's done. And the tune might not even sound pretty to nobody else, but right at the time, it sounds good to me. I'd be embarrassed a lot of time for anybody else to hear, but you know, that's the thing. God, don't tell me that I sound bad. He said, just make a joyful noise. Why? Because He knows what's in the heart. He's hearing what's in here. It might not be how good it sounds coming off your lips. He's hearing what's in the heart. How the heart's singing. Each and every one of us, please, don't let the devil slip us a counterfeit into thinking that we've got a place here where we can sort of coast, sit down, take it easy. We're to strive to enter in at that straight gate. You know, I don't know about you, but if you've ever given everything that you had to accomplish a project of whatever it might be, and you succeed at it, oh, how wonderful you feel. That's why there's going to be such shouting going down the streets of the holy city. Is because all those Christian people that strive, give everything that they have to get there, and they hear the Lord say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. They're going to have a lot to shout about, isn't it? Not because we saved ourselves, but because we is obedient unto the word of the Lord. We didn't take for granted what did He say. We didn't listen to the words and say, well, that sounds real good, but I don't think it's necessary. You know, that's the biggest lie the devil is telling people today. I know the word says that, but it's not necessary in this day and time. Or that was written to those out there or back there or whatever it might be. You and I today, if we come before the Lord. You know, there was a statement made by a man to my dad years ago when he was going to do something, and Dad told him, that's wrong. You can't do that and be a Christian. He said, oh, it might bother you the first time or two, but after that, it don't bother you a bit. You know, according to the Bible, we have our conscience seared with a hot iron. It gets to where there's no feeling left in it. Why? We've overrode it so much. But if we're a true born-again Christian, and we start to do something wrong, or we start to even have a thought that is displeasing to God, you'll feel it in the pit of your stomach. You'll feel it within your neck as the blood pressure starts to change. God's speaking to you and letting you know, you don't commit sin and do things that's wrong without God letting you know if you're His child. When we override that and just keep overriding, it gets to where it don't bother us. Why? The Lord quit speaking unto us because we're no longer His child. You and I today, He said, if you won't stand the chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. He don't chastise the lost man out there. He deals with him to invite him to come and be forgiven. But He does not chastise him. He chastises His children. You and I today, if the Lord sends correction our way and we fail to heed it, after a while we're going to find He no longer is sending correction our way. We might, because of that, think, well, I'm doing okay. No, it's because God's turned you over. He said He'll allow you to believe a lie and be damned. You can lie to yourself and say, I'm all right. But when you stand before God, God's going to be the one that makes the final decision. While we sing some verse of a song, will you come? Think of your life. Just as that example we give you earlier. God dressed you if you come to the Lord and repented of your sin. God wrapped you in a robe of righteousness. And He said for you to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That means as we pass through this life daily, we need to go on our knees before the Lord. and make sure that there is no sin. Nothing that we fail God in that day unrepented of. And tomorrow raise and don't make those same mistakes over. You know, a lot of people, they act like, well, I ask the Lord to forgive me so I can just go on and this it. It's been my problem for so long. It'll be all right because I asked the Lord to forgive me, and it ain't going to hurt if I fall in that same pit again. You and I, we better pick ourselves up and get back before the Lord. Get on the straight and narrow pathway and stay there. While we sing, first of the song, will you come?
Keep the way clear.